All right, Heath, thanks for jumping on the show, man. We appreciate your time, especially after you just got done at work.
No problem. My pleasure.
I wanted to, since we had to reschedule, I just wanted to ask, I seen you at Third Man last week.
Yeah.
You guys have done a collaboration at some point, right? Oh, really?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
I thought I seen a White Stripes record out there that was a Wax Mage variant, but maybe that was just like a digital mock-up thing.
Could have been, yeah. Yeah, we haven't done anything with Third Man yet, but I'm hoping to in the future, yeah. Got a lot of friends over there, so, yeah.
And it's, I mean, the two suit each other, like, it's very... Oh, Jeremy, your camera cut out for a second.
Yeah, I know. It came back.
Okay. The two suit each other very well, like Wax Mage and Third Man, just because you guys are doing stuff that nobody else is really doing. I mean, there's a lot of pressing plants out there and different things, but like, I think Jack White has his own spin on things. You guys definitely have your own spin on things, so it would be really cool to see you collab.
Yeah, I hope to someday, for sure.
And how was the Ammo and Sniffers show?
This is the best show. I love that band. Ammo and the Sniffers are like top tier for me. Like, good old school Aussie punk, like really fucking throwing down, excellent high energy show, like just unstoppable.
Yeah, it looks like they have their shit together.
Amy Taylor is just the coolest performer, such a great entertainer.
Yeah, I haven't seen him live, but like we, about a year or so ago, it felt like every episode we did, we were bringing them up because they were releasing new material at the time, and we kept telling people to check out this band, and whether or not people did, who knows, but awesome band for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm glad they're getting their due in the U.S., you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, yeah. Go see them before they get into the bigger venues, because it's happening.
Yeah, most definitely.
I'm sure it'll be coming real quick here. So just for reference, so for any listeners that know, go ahead and introduce yourself and what you do with Wax Mage.
My name is Heath Gamoose. I'm the founder of Wax Mage Records, and I work at Gotta Good Records since 2010 as a press operator, and currently the production manager here at Gotta Good Records.
Okay. So Gotta Groove came first, and then Wax Mage down the road.
Yeah.
But you still operate everything Wax Mage is pressed at Gotta Groove, right?
Everything Wax Mage is pressed at Gotta Groove. It's a pretty cool origin story, honestly, is I got in, started working in packaging, just saw those machines just pounding out vinyl, and I was like, man, I want to work on one of those things. And finally got my chance to a couple months after I got hired, and learned how to press records, started doing those half and half records and splatter records. And then I just had a little bit of extra time at the end of a job and with stampers in, and my wheels started spinning. I'm like, well, what happens if I put this in there and press it, you know? Or,
right.
You know, what happens if I layer stuff this way and press it? So Vince Sr., who was the founder of Gotta Groove, is retired. But his son Vince Jr. is running the company now. But Vince Jr. and Matt Early. But Vince Sr. let me experiment. He was just like, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. You know, you got 15, 30 minutes, then we got to move on to the next thing. So they just let me goof off until I started finding really cool stuff.
That's awesome, man. Shout out to old man Vince.
Oh, yeah, man. He's the OG, that's for sure.
So it was... Every time you're hand pouring everything, correct?
So for me, there's hand pour and then there's handmade.
Okay.
The distinction between those two is the hand pour is I'm using the hopper and the extruder. So I'm watching the screw spin that takes the material into the machine, and I'm timing it so that I'm pouring 40 grams of vinyl each time. I watch the screw spin empty, pour another 40 grams of vinyl. That's a hand pour for me. So I'm actually pouring the vinyl. The handmade, I'm not using, not all the time using the extruder, and I'm building designs in the front of the press without using the extruder. So I'm hand laying the vinyl.
So when you were starting out, how much was, I'm assuming a lot of it was just trying out different pours, seeing what colors blended well together. And I don't know this for sure, but do different colors melt at different temperatures and stuff? Or?
They do.
Okay.
Vinyl, all the vinyl colors have a different heating and cooling parameters. So when I first started doing it, you could actually hear an audible noise shift. If you had, you know, a half and half record, black on one side and white on the other, you can hear it every time it hit that line, wow. That hard line where it switched from black to white. In layering these colors together, it's like having to find a that sweet spot where things not only operate correctly in the press, but you don't have an audible noise, an audible shift in the noise floor when the record is. So it's been a lot of, it took me years and years and a lot of time studies just to even approach Gottegru and say, can we offer these designs to the client? So yeah, it's been a long, long process.
Because I've always heard the argument, just like, we do this podcast in the back of my record store. So in the front of the record store, there's always people hanging out, people coming in. We got a lot of regulars. And this is an ongoing argument of, does color affect the vinyl sound, or is it the same material? Or so it's interesting to hear that if you had a direct split like that, like it was, there was a noticeable shift. Because a lot of times, like when you get the record in the final production, like I don't really hear much difference. Now I've seen some issues happen where like the edge of an outer dead wax like didn't fully press down, so you got like a little chip in the edge or something like that from like having a weird color pour right on that edge. But a lot of times the sound, I've never seen it really or heard it really be affected.
I think people are, you know, since we've been doing what we're doing and a lot of people are starting to do their own experimenting, I think collectively as an industry, people that are making color records are learning how to work with the material. On top of that, I feel like the manufacturers of the materials are learning how to give it a little more viscosity and lower the noise floor, just because we all want to stay in business. So right. Everyone works together and to try and figure out how to, you know, decrease noise floor issues and, you know, how to make a good flowing vinyl. And I think right now the biggest push is to find vinyl that is more eco-friendly. Everyone is still working on that. There are a few places now that do some eco-friendly vinyl, but we haven't gotten to experiment with it yet, but we're trying to get a hold of some to try it out.
Okay. We were talking about the sound difference. How much failure did you have as far as the records go? Like, do you already have an idea of kind of how you want them to look in mind? So how many times does it take you to really get, like, how you want it to be?
So I've actually created, I call it Zen and the Art of Color Vinyl. It's a little cookbook, I call it. It's got all of my designs in there and heating and cooling parameters, how to build them, why they're built that way. And at first, it was very high scrap on, just in learning, like massive curve. Eventually, like now we can get through, as long as the press is running well, the operator is familiar with the design, there's under 5% scrap on the custom work that we do, which is amazing.
That's
fucking insane. It's like nothing.
Honestly,
And that's exactly where we want to keep it too. So, but it's a large learning curve. So when I bring a new person in to learn how to do this stuff, it's a lot to learn.
How long did it take you to go from learning to, like, how long's the training to learn how to actually press a record? Because there's how many plants like in Michigan, or not, I'm sorry, Michigan, in the United States, there isn't even that many pressing plants. So to be trained on one, I'd imagine it would take some time.
There are so many different kinds of presses, and there's new manufacturers out there that are making presses too. And we work on Hamiltons that are from the mid-70s, And then we have a couple of SMTs that were made in the mid-80s, and then two more hybrids that are kind of Frankenstein together between the Hamiltons and the SMTs that are PLC-driven.
Or like and in-house then, kind of Frankenstein monster thing?
I mean, they're not monsters. They're actually beautifully running really machines. Okay, sound like they're like, oh. But they're not. They're actually our highest performing machines right now. Just because they're PLC driven and not analog like the other ones.
Oh, okay.
And in those modifications, we were able to make modifications, you know, just because of watching these older machines run. We're like, we'd like to upgrade this, we'd like to upgrade that. So they actually run really, really well.
I was gonna say you'd find all those efficient points.
Yeah. So the learning curve, I say, when I first hire a press operator here, I'm like, I understand that you're not going to know anything about what you're doing. We've created these manuals here, so it's easier to learn. And I say, I'm not going to let you fail. I'm like, ask all the questions. Guys will be able to be on their own after about a month, just to get the rhythm of things. And then after about a year, I'd consider you not green anymore. But you can ask any press operator in any plant. If they're worth their salt, they'll tell you they should learn something new every day. So you remain teachable. And most folks say you're an expert after 10 years, but I still don't feel like one. Like, even I still learn something new every day. And a lot of times I learn something new from the new guy. So,
yeah you get sometimes,
There's like a happy accident that happens too, that like something clicks and you're like, oh, I could have done this with this or whatever. Like, younger guys have different habits than what the older guys do. Mm-hmm. And that happens in every field too. So like, I think the best people in their field of work are always the people who are willing to know that they don't know everything.
Yeah. That's a key, stay humble.
Yeah. Cause it's like that. Yeah. I mean, it's like that at the record store. Like, I've had a lot of people that have come in that try to tell you this, that, and the other about a stereo. And I know when I'm right or when I'm wrong, but when it comes to, you know, stereos, records, collectability, like some of them old dudes or even some of the young guys, like they tell you stuff that you would have never even thought about or known or anything. So mm-hmm. I'm always open to learning something.
There's
new.
So much fucking shit out there to learn too.
Oh, I know. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm going back to school this year. It's like I wish I could do that for a million different things and get paid for it, but it doesn't work that way.
So what is the smallest run of records available to the public that you guys have done for?
100 records. 100? 100 records is our minimum.
That's what I thought.
And then,
but I didn't know if maybe you're like, well, since we have all the access to a plant, we'll just kick out these 5 really cool ones that are super limited.
Man, I wish we could do that, but
yeah, it'd be a lot of resources. Can't. I know.
Yeah. It basically costs like $2,000 just to get everything together and set up. You might as well get 100 records for another $500. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
do you do represses of?
We do.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I was gonna say, like, of anything that was for an artist, because do you do the same colored repress, or do you incorporate a whole new thing, or does that kind of up to whoever the record's for?
It's up to the label or the artist that's getting the repress. My advice to folks, if you are getting a repress, do something different. You know, either on the jacket art or the label art, or, you know, make a different color vinyl. So if your first run was, you know, 500 clear with Black Swirl Records, make your next 500 piece run, you know, 500 red with Black Swirl or something like that. So having a different variant for the same record creates that collectability factor. So
I didn't know this until I was doing some research for the episode, but you guys did a collaboration on Record Store Day with a Dead Milkmen record where you randomly put, how many was it?
I think we made we pressed a total of 150.
Okay.
I'm positive that 125 got out there into the world, maybe a little more than that. I'm not sure exactly how they did it, but yeah, that was really cool to work on.
Because it didn't even say, I don't remember there being a hype sticker about it. Nothing. Like, it was a complete surprise.
There's probably still some out there.
Now you just cracked them and put your own in and then resealed them? Is that how that worked?
What we did, so they had the bulk of their run done at Studio 4 Vinyl. And I worked with Matt Teacher at the Giving Grove. And after I pressed the records, we created the designs. They had some really cool, like, inner sleeve, like, foil stamps and hand numbering stuff in there. So we had, like, there was, like, a 1 of 1, I think a 1 of 14, a 1 of 50, and then 1 of 100, something like that. So the inner sleeve was something completely awesome and totally unique. But from the outside, they did all the assembly at Studio 4 Vinyl. So I just sent sleeved records from Guide Groove to where they were assembling everything. And they would just randomly insert them in a 5,000 piece run.
That's so cool.
So for that Bucky Fellini record, there's probably still some out in the wild. So if you pick one up at a record store, you might get lucky.
Yeah, I had two of them here, and I actually know one of the guys that bought one, and now I'm kind of like, fuck, I wish I had his number so I could be like, did you get it? And he'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I might not even know.
Do you still have a Bucky Fellini one there?
No, I do have... We do have an original copy of the record here that's autographed by the band that's hanging up, like, above our... It's behind the counter, like, way up, so only we can see it, but yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't know about that, and I was like, damn, that was a really cool idea, and I'm sure with how resellable Record Store Day things are, like that one, with how resellable Wax Mage pressings are, like, I'm sure once people realize it, the resale on that's probably insane.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on with that one. Some of the resale on some of the Wax Mage customs I see out there is absolutely insane, too. I'm just like, holy moly.
Yeah, I went down a Reddit hole that was insane, like, when I was doing a little research before doing this, and it just people, like, going crazy over, like, trying to get the first press of this one or that one. And then there was, like, maybe a couple of other labels that people were talking about that do crazy variants, like
Wax Vessels, another
that's what they
said. Wax Vessel.
But I mean, this went on and on, and I kind of went for hours. I'm just like, it's like a whole nother subgenre of collecting. And really, you know, I found another weird community of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. I gotta be honest, I had no idea. When I started doing what I was doing, that it would turn into something like this. So it's really, I feel honored that I get to continue to do the work that I do, not just for Gotta Groove and not just for Wax Mage, but for, you know, like Wax Vessel, Kadabra Records, Soul Step Records, Warrior Death Records. There's so many I could mention, but like repeat folks that come through here. Real Gun Records now is like a new and just like getting customs each and every time with all of their runs, and I'm just like, I just did some runs for Real Gun for the Donnas, and I'm just like, holy shit, I'm making cool records for the Donnas. Like, are you kidding me? It's crazy, man. So
aside from like the Dead Milkmen Record Store Day collab, the Donna's collab, what are some of the other kind of crazy collabs to you that you've done?
Man. As far as like collaboration stuff, I don't often do a whole lot of that. This has more been recently of just me reaching out or other labels or artists reaching out and, you know, we're trying to do stuff together. I do a lot of stuff for our local music scene. So a lot of the records that I put out with my business partner Ty. Now I just brought him in. He does a lot of the heavy wax slinging that I used to do. He's a solid gold dude. But we both really try to work with a lot of local artists, and some of what we do is, we'll say, hey, can we put out your record? And folks are usually like, yeah. but our metric is that we do a run of 225 records. We give the artist 100 records free and clear. They can do whatever they want with them. And then with the 125 records we make are all handmade ones. And we sell those on our platform, and that helps us pay for the run and then backs us up a couple of bucks to do another job, or like get some t-shirts, or like have some merch or whatever, or travel to, you know, like we went to Making Vinyl this year. We went to Austin for Record Con, and we're just, but basically we're giving an artist $3,000 worth of records to do whatever they want with. So,
yeah.
And I feel like it's a huge help. I've played in a lot of bands coming up, and man, peanut butter and ramen noodles gets old fast.
Fucking you know? A, buddy.
Yeah, for sure.
So if somebody ever approached me and was like, hey, do you want 100 free records? I'd be like, yes, I do.
Yes, please.
So yeah. But collaborations. We have a few irons in the fire right now. We're doing some work with Greenwich Records out of New York. And on those collaborations, we've done Pale Diane as a release that we did for them. Bloody Knives is about to come out. We did Pearl Earl with them. We're still ironing out some other deals right now that I can't talk about. But
yeah, that's fine.
Hopefully we get those too. I'm just going to say Japanese noise artist.
Awesome.
Okay. Trying to...
And that's the other thing too, is we don't have any genre specific anything.
You guys are
if,
really...
if we like it, we'll put it out.
And yeah, that, I fucking appreciate that.
I like all the
that.
Genres. Yeah,
and that's how we do our podcast too. Like, yeah, we have a ripped off Negative Approach logo, but we don't only do hardcore stuff or like metal stuff. Mm-hmm. We try to branch out into other things now. Some people are a little unreachable, so we end up doing a lot more like DIY sort of independent punk bands, which we love, and I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but we try to really mix it up. So I like that about your label, how you don't put it out if you don't like it. And that's kind of how we operate too. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to endorse your new record if I don't like it. I'm not going to say it's bad, but I'm just not going to be able to have a whole conversation about it.
Sure.
Right. We're not going to promote it if, you know what I'm saying, if we're not all about it.
Yeah, you got to love what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
One of the artists that I noticed looking into this that I like was that Uno lady.
Oh, man, she's such a good friend of mine.
That shit is fucking crazy sounding.
Yeah. I like
it's
that
just,
a lot.
It's just her. And to see her
so
perform
nuts.
Live is amazing. What she does
shout out
with
to the
just
Uno
her
lady.
Voice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Krista Ebert. Big love.
Yeah. So that...
I think it
I
said
that
like her
cool.
Instagram says like she's like a one-woman ghost orchestra or something like that.
Yeah.
It was,
she truly is.
Yeah.
That's
she just shows
awesome
up with a
way
suitcase
to describe
that...
her.
Unfolds and everything she needs is just spills out of it, and then you have literally have an entire opera and an orchestra at her fingertips.
Damn, that's
it's unreal.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I like that stuff. Like it sounds, you know, it's got little parts of this, that, and the other in there, but it's definitely like 100% her own thing. Like that's
all
her innovation.
Yeah,
I've never heard anything
there.
Like that. I mean, I guess you could say it sounds a little like this and a little like that, but
yeah, you can do that with anything.
Exactly.
But, oh yeah.
For the most part, like it's her, man, and I really like it.
Yeah, me too. Anyway.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to
like just Dick Reitner, dude. This shit sounds good though, you know.
I had an opportunity to put out a 10-inch for her. And that the unique part about that 10-inch is that I actually went to Robin at Red Spade Records, who's a lathe cutter in Canada. Also a good friend of mine. She runs helps to run Women in Vinyl, which is a very cool podcast if you want to check out.
Promo
another podcast. Women in Vinyl is like so cool, so informative, just like really inclusive with everything that they're trying to do. Shout out to Robin and Jen from Women in Vinyl. But so with that 10 inch for Uno Lady, I had Robin cut it. It was a single side, and then on the other side she hand etched these little whales on it, and then I sent the records to Dave Norman from Zegma Beach Records, and he does this thing where he dips he's dipping the vinyl in like how they used to make old pages in books where it's just kind of like this flow of color. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to explain it. but it's almost
like Plastidip kind
of. Yes, yeah, exactly that. And so he dipped each one of those blank sides with the etching on it, and it so it looked like the little whales that Robin etched were swimming in these blue amazing. Waves. So, that's so awesome. I think we only did 50 of them, and I had to get 10-inch jackets made at another place called Little Elephant. They're also lathe cutters, but they do small run jackets if you need any. And they're out of Toledo. But it was it's the only Wax Mage release that I didn't make. I just brought all of my friends in who I love their work. And
is that the only 10-inch?
Compile. Pardon?
Is that your only 10-inch?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
we don't press 10-inches.
That's like
here.
A holy grail now.
Even now I'm like, did I take one of those
home? Yeah, yeah, think about it. That's cool, yeah. Though. That's cool.
I mean, notoriously, 10-inches don't do that well.
No, I know.
People are mm-hmm. They're almost confused by them when they see them. They're like...
I know, dude. It's funny how people get
like,
all
some
like...
some people are like, oh, a 7-inch, like, you know, a handful of people know, a handful of people yeah. don't know. But when you see a 10, they're like, wait a minute. Like, I know that was bigger. Like,
right?
It just throws them off. But
Have you seen a 3-inch record?
Yeah.
Yep.
I've seen some of them Czarface 3-inches that they did and stuff.
I have a 5-inch that's pretty funny, too.
Yeah, I have one that's a split with Anal Cunt and Child Bite.
It's a 5-inch or 3-inch?
Yeah, it's not. It's like this little tiny... Like, I lose it at home sometimes. It's so small. I'm like, oh, I want to show
where's
you this really unique thing. And I'm like, where the fuck did it go? I don't even know where it went.
Where's my anal cunt?
Slayer did that like small 7-inch box set, but each record was 6.66 inches.
So nice.
Slightly under 7 inches.
That's pretty silly and fun.
That's really silly and fun. I agree.
Speaking of etchings, though, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, on you guys' Instagram, what looked like a plate for a Wax Mage etching.
Yeah. Oh, God, hold up. You got it right here.
Oh, nice.
We are about, I think I'm going to do a, see if I can talk the president of GGR and let me do a 50-piece run. But, yeah, we just got it in. Dan at Black Matter Mastering did it for me.
That is fucking sick.
Yeah, so there's like these little ghosty eyeballs in the back.
Yeah,
of it. And then I had my graphic designer, Linda Holton, design a center label for it. But so this is like my logo.
Right.
So for the center label, it's just that eyeball.
Oh, it's so fucking sick.
So I can't wait to see what it looks like.
So it's a real small cut down center label.
It'll be this whole thing.
Oh, it'll be the whole thing.
Just the whole label, but just the eye.
Oh, okay.
Because that eye image. Yeah.
I've seen a couple presses where, like, on that label where the eye is, just in the center there, that maybe like inch that's right there.
Yeah.
Like, there was an Aesop Rock record that he put just that tiny little spot on the center there.
Oh, nice.
I've seen, like, some clear label center labels like that that went through on both sides of the record.
I love
that was
ASAP
pretty cool.
One.
So, when you started Wax Mage, did you plan on starting it as your own custom pressing thing, or was it a record label first?
I've always wanted to. Even before I got into bands, I was like, man, if I had $1 million, I'd do a record label because I just love music and I love what I love. And I'm just like, I would hear something local and I'm like, man, that needs to be in the world someday.
Right,
somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was always my initial passion to do that. So honestly, it'd be really cool if I could be like a full on offer tour support and, you know, recording studio shit. I wish I could get to that level someday. I don't know. I got a real late start, so I might not make it.
Never say never, brother.
I'm never not saying never because I keep hiring folks that are 20 years younger than me. So somebody's going to do it.
Somebody.
I'll get it started, but somebody's got to finish it. But I wanted to start a record label, and I wanted to put out music. I don't know. Everything just kind of serendipitously lined up.
Yeah.
in life. Like, I didn't start work. I'm 53.
Damn, really?
It'll look sex, a day over 23, man.
Yeah, make sure you're moisturized.
I thought you were, like, our age.
Yeah, so did I.
No, man. But I got into pressing vinyl in, you know, my late 30s, or probably, like, 40 years old. So, and I just immediately knew when I walked in the door, I was like, this is where I need to work. And I just, and then I quit all my bands. I was like, see ya. Awesome. I'm going to eat all week.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I've always wanted to. I think the Instagram got started in 2015, where Sarah, who's I was working with, Sarah Barker, we first started working here together. And she was like, you should start an Instagram. You know, me not thinking about it. She's very young. She was like, you should put this in the out in the wild. I was like, okay, let's start an Instagram. And so we did, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. I've always thought that the trick to Instagram is having repostable content, and you guys have, like, highly repostable content.
I actually have someone finally managing that for me now, which is a huge de-stressor for me, and now I get to work on other stuff. But
yeah, that's a whole thing on its own.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
it's a whole fucking
I run our podcast Instagram, our record store Instagram, the record store Facebook, my own stuff, et cetera. So, I mean, just that social media aspect of things, like, it's...
I would leave work, and then I'd be home sitting on the couch for fucking 3 hours.
Yeah, answering...
You know, like this. I'm just, oh, my God.
And it's still work. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it is. It's definitely work. People are like, you're always on your phone. I was like, I'm trying to monetize this shit, man.
Exactly, dude.
I'm not playing a video game here.
Yeah, I'm not Candy Crushing. Like, yeah, no, for sure. I'm trying to sling some records.
I had to delete Candy Crush. I need the room. You know? Jesus, but yeah, man, that's fucking awesome though that you're just like, you know what, I want to eat all week, and I found what I want to do, you know.
Yeah, I got really lucky. Not a lot of people get to follow their passion in a sense, but I don't think I ever didn't. I was always just, you know, getting work so I could keep making music or being involved in music somehow. So, but then to find a job that revolves around music, I was just like,
especially like in Ohio of all places, like it's a very, it's not like the music center capital of the world or anything like that.
It should be.
Like, I mean, even like Detroit has more musical history, I would say, than Ohio. And
definitely big time. Detroit's one of my favorite places to visit, hands down. Yeah.
It's, there's a whole like energy when you're in there, like just especially like I haven't gotten to go to the Motown Museum yet, but I've done like a virtual tour thing.
I always get a little misty when I go in there.
Yeah, that's on my, that's definitely on my to-do list.
Shit.
They have the same. They have the they have a candy machine in there.
Okay.
That has I think it's the Payday candy bar, has been in the same slot. Because that's when Stevie Wonder was a kid and he would go in there, he would always know to count the knobs over, and that was the one he wanted.
Oh, no shit.
So they never moved it. It's still in the same spot to this day.
That's funny. Man,
that's awesome. Watch the new
guy. I don't know if the candy's fresh or not. But
no, probably not.
The new guy there goes in and buys it and just eats it. And
it's just a bar of ants.
That kind of makes me think of another question that I kind of had for you that's kind of just jumbled together. But aside from pressing your normal colors, different colors, swirls, spiders, blah blah blah, have you ever tried pressing anything funky like that? Like I saw where there was microchips
like,
in one,
like pressing something inside of a
record.
We do a lot of inlays. So my rule with the inlays is that they have to be 0.7 millimeters thin or less.
Okay.
More or less between
the item that you're inlaying has to be that.
Yeah. Okay. Just because there's only so much, a record is only so thick.
Right.
So I'm not doing stuff like how you see the liquid filled records and stuff like that, which is very cool. But that's actually two records that are RTV'd together.
Yeah, it's basically,
and then they're able to
disc.
Put stuff inside of it. Yeah. So with the inlays that I do, I think a record in total is like 1.4 millimeters thick. And being able to layer stuff inside of there is, you only have so much room inside those dies, or else it'll poke through the grooves, it'll damage the stampers, or it could damage the dies. I've done stuff like utility blades, which turned out pretty cool. The boss doesn't like when I put metal in the records.
You're like, freaking out.
Oh, yeah, he's like, ah, these dies are $10,000. I'm like, don't worry, I'm a professional. But I'm only a professional because I've ruined some shit. So.
Yeah, you only get good by fucking shit up, right?
It's true, it's true. It's, you know, there's a lot of things, like I tell my guys out there, I was like, well, you're probably only going to make that mistake once.
Exactly. So,
if you do it twice, we're going to talk. But, any kind of fabrics. I tried pretzels. I've tried coffee. I've tried things. I found that things with oils in them already are not going to work because the PVC has, you know, has a little bit of oil in it.
Right.
Basically just in its chemical makeup. So it doesn't play nice with, you know, like coffee grounds that has a natural oil in it, or, you know, lemon rinds or stuff like that. But inlays are fun. They're complicated.
We were talking last week, and I was wondering if you put, like, say, pennies in one around it, and, you know, when you'd spin it, how would that centrifugal force fuck with your record?
I don't know.
Or would it? I mean, I don't know. You're the guy. You're the guy I'm asking.
I don't think that it would, just because it's already on that quarter inch center pin.
Yeah.
On your turntable. So I don't know that necessarily it would fuck with it.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of power.
But I thought about that with liquid fill.
Yeah. Yeah, with liquid filled, with that force kind of like
shot in it. My thought was, if you did anything like a quarter, a penny, anything that has, it's not a substantial amount of weight, but it's a gram or something, whatever a penny weighs, I don't know. But I would think you would have to offset each one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
But maybe not, since, you know, you brought up it being already on the center spindle of a turntable, so that kind of eliminates the centrifugal force, since there's nothing moving, like, outwards. Like, with a liquid-filled record, you have everything moving outwards as it's spinning. But if the penny's locked in there, now if the penny was loose, maybe it could do something.
I guess I was just, you know,
but then,
like,
it would fuck with the sound altogether.
When people, like, you know, do it on their bar tables and fill it in.
Yeah, and they fill it with epoxy or whatever.
Yeah, and you said 0.7, and I was wondering, I mean, I don't know how thick a penny is or a dime.
Neither.
I'd be real impressed if you did, like, just off the top of your head. I'm like, damn, that's a stored down fact you got there.
I've done some coins before, but they weren't, I'm looking right now to see if I got any pennies laying around here, but I don't.
But you have
it's a good
pressed,
problem to have.
You have pressed money into albums before?
Paper money, yes.
Yeah.
Not coin. Not coins. God, now I'm going to be thinking about this until I can measure one. But
sorry, dude.
I've used, like, metal discs before for Heathen Hand Records.
Okay.
They had, like, a custom like, we call them coins.
Yeah.
They're probably a nickel size, but they had just some etchings in them or whatever.
That's cool.
Guitar picks I've done before.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, those turned out pretty cool. Some of the thinner guitar picks, like kind of got heated up enough and stretched out a little bit, so they were just, like, really big picks.
Oh, yeah,
but
the stamper,
a lot of the nylon ones just kind of held their shape, and they're just sort of floating around in the, not, like, moving, but, you know, they just, like, depth-wise in the record.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, before we got a little sidetracked earlier, do you happen to know how many bands you have on your label by chance? A lot of people I've asked this are like, I don't know.
Well, I keep track of all of the matrixes numbers that I use, so I could pull up a really rough... I haven't updated it in a minute. I've put a few more jobs in the system, but it's looking like I've been putting records out since 2015. I took a little hiatus. there's probably about 35 bands.
Okay.
That's pretty good. We put out.
Yeah, that's badass, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. I never counted it up before.
Yeah. Real fucking cool, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a minute to, like, build that catalog, so... And I feel like a lot of people in that, they don't reflect on it until somebody brings up the question, and, like, you just...
Yeah, and
like,
I never...
Damn, that's really cool.
I never thought about it until now, so... Yeah. Yeah. Now it makes me want to work on that spreadsheet some more. Yeah.
Like, when we did 100... We've done over 100 episodes now, and I'm like, oh, wow. It doesn't even feel like it. Just, like,
that means you're having a good time.
Yeah.
For sure.
We do have a good time. That's the whole reason we do this, so...
Oh, yeah.
But I asked if you could bring along some variants to show off. So if you brought some off, that would be awesome to see.
Yeah,
so
good stuff.
I did. This is one of those inlays. I hope you can see it, but it's got like a foil in it.
Yeah.
And the other side is pretty, a little more simple. But let's see who this release is for. I'm mishandling this record because I literally just pulled it off the wall in the other room. So when we have, sometimes we have records that don't always pass our, this is how you should handle a record, y'all, like this. No groove touches, okay? Yeah. Nice and easy flips on that.
I've always wanted to make a video of that, like, showing people, because I've seen some bands.
Oh, I know.
Like, unboxing.
And they're just like, look at how cool
this is. And they're like fucking like frisbee in it. And I'm like, oh my God.
But I see people handle it like this a lot too. They'll pull it out of the jacket, and I'm like, it's this way.
Yeah.
But So my apologies if I'm mishandling them, because I know that they're scrap records to me. So I'm gonna do better for the podcast for you.
Some internet nerd's gonna tear you apart.
Bring it. Yeah. I've been handling records since like the 70s, so come talk to me about it.
Yeah.
But this is that one of those foil inlays I thought was really cool. This record here was an experiment that I did because I had this new glittery stuff that I wanted to see what it looked like in the record. Oh, this is how you take a record out of a sleeve, you know, just like this. Reach in, hand under the label.
And I would also like to add, that's the type of sleeve you put a record in, not that piece of crap paper that it comes with.
Yeah, these are GGR exclusive rice paper sleeves that we use here. They got our GGR's logo on them. I don't know if you can see this, but...
That looks cool as fuck.
Yeah.
It's just got like this, I don't know.
What is that?
Pepper?
No, man. It looks like pepper. But it's just like this flat, and you can't see it in there, but it has like iridescence to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really see it there in the camera.
Yeah,
it's really subtle.
Camera tricks always suck on records.
But it's like, it's probably one of my favorite ones, and I only did this one record like this, and I haven't done it again. But I'll probably get on it because I like how that one turned out. And this is a new, we just did this variant for, and this record you can buy on our website right now at waxmage.com. But this is Mike St. Jude and the Valentines. Okay. One of, a record of local folks from Cleveland. And this is the last record one of our dear friends ever played on. So...
I actually seen you make a post about Mike St. Jude the other day, and I was...
Yeah. It's live now. It went live this morning on our website. So this variant in particular is sold out.
Okay.
It's called the Supernova. And,
gnarly.
Yeah.
Lots of colors in there.
Yeah. It turned out really well. But like I said, these variants are... all sold out right now, but we have other ones up there. Gushers, I think, or maybe not Gushers. I forget all the variants. This is one of Ty Kramer's projects that he wanted to work on. And this is a variant. He created the variant style, the build, and then another press operator who just had his last day last week. He's going into construction.
Such a downgrade.
I tried to tell him.
Like, what are you doing, bro?
He says, I'm going to get married and have some kids. I have to get into, get into a union or whatever. I was like, you should just stay here.
Yeah, 10 years from now, he's going to be back at your door like, let me back in.
I hope he's back here 10 days from now. He's a solid, solid dude. Yeah. So he's going to be successful whatever he does. But he's the one who created the way to layer colors so that they played together nice in that build. So yeah, but let's see, what else do I got? So we were talking about Wax Wrestle earlier, and he has this thing where he does 10 at the end, so he'll do what he calls member mages. And then he does gold mages. Member mages are 10 records. The gold mages are for 5 records. And then he does, we do this thing called build a mage. And where he does a raffle, whoever wins that raffle gets to design their own custom record.
Oh, damn. That's so awesome.
Nick and I worked together on making those, and the designs are pretty creative. I don't have any of those there because they are truly one-offs, but this is one of the gold mages that he had done.
Damn.
For one of his releases. I can't show you the, well, the other side actually is just a Wax Mage label, but that's a Wax Mage label that he made just for his Wax Mage releases. For the, it's all grindcore, so it looks like an old leather couch.
Dope.
It's the old leather couch font.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of like pages on Instagram dedicated to either Wax Mage collecting or Wax Vessel or both collecting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, people out there, like, really hunt that shit down, which I think is awesome for you and also just really cool in general because it makes everything that more exciting when you have, like, particular variants that you're hunting down. I'm not really a variant hunter myself. Like, me, I'm just like, if I got it, cool, I got
it. Yeah, that's how we are.
I found one of the... Sometimes when I am making those one-offs, the through Wax Vessel, I do fail... some of them, and I actually have one here that was a fail, but it was a customer request. I just messed up the letters. But there's this group on Facebook called Wax Vessel People That Don't Suck.
Okay.
And all these kids are in this group, and one of the kids wanted the letters for that in the record. So yeah, Wax
Vessel. And you put the T and the S in the wrong people, spot.
And I got, yes, that's why I failed it. I was like, well, I can't fucking spell.
At least it wasn't a tattoo.
I've seen some of this stuff. Oh, yeah. That's messed up.
Oh, shit.
Is there anything that you've done that you thought was going to come out one way and it just came out like a steaming pile of shit?
Yeah. That happens a lot more often than I'd like to admit.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I have one of them sitting right here.
Let's see it.
It was, another one of those records that some guy was like, hey, can you, put the constellations or whatever in a record? You know, it was like a one-off raffle thing. And I was like, yeah. And then I had this great idea on how to do it. And you might not be able to tell from there. This is the one side. It looks cool as shit.
It's like,
yeah, even but, that.
Oh, you can kind of see
waxes.
It. You see those bumps?
Yeah, I see them.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So I actually did put a piece of, like, this is like a map of the constellations.
Yeah.
In the record, but it was just too thick. So it did not work out. This is an unplayable, rumbly pile of steam and shit.
But it's got the constellations. It's a learning tool.
It's absolutely a learning tool. Go.
Plus, so, it's also a really cool wall decoration.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the next one I made was perfect.
And it had it in it and everything.
Because I completely fucked this one up. But that's how it goes when you're doing that kind of stuff.
So the pimp one had had the constellations in it and everything that you ended up making?
Yeah, it just pulled apart a little more. Nice. I was trying to keep things to get a little tighter, but it just pulled apart a little more.
That's fucking cool. That's a good I think that's a really good idea. I mean, that would look good spinning, you know what I mean?
One of these cute little guys. Simple and sweet.
Now, how do you get that cloud effect?
It's a secret.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to be honest.
No, you don't have to tell me. I just think it's cool as fuck.
I would love to take a video of how I do what I do.
Then somebody out there would be like taking notes.
Well, let me tell you what. Folks are already, you know, I don't know if they're reverse engineering what I do, but they're like coming up with their own ways to make really amazing records. New Orleans record pressing. There's Burlington. Burlington vinyl, I think it is. They just moved. And then there's a Third Man, of course, are doing some really cool stuff there. Smash Plastic.
Smash Plastic, I've
heard. Yeah, Soft Wax, I think, is another place. And there's a spot in Germany, I can't remember the name of it. And then there's Dunk Records in Australia. They're just like really knocking it out of the park with customs that they're doing. The beauty of that is that we're all using different machines. So the molds that I use close straight onto each other, top to bottom, like that, in this kind of motion. A lot of the molds that a lot of folks are using are book molds that are opening and closing like a book, like that.
Like a waffle maker.
That's what I think. Yeah, waffle maker.
So you're going to get a different effect when you have the vinyl pushing in one direction. So you have to think about backloading those plates.
Starts and then pushes out versus it going sure does. From the center out. Yeah.
Right. So I can get a more concentric design. Some of the things that I'm seeing coming out of those book molds, I'm just like, holy shit.
Because
I can never
do
that.
It just
I can never do that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. I get inspired by seeing the work that the other record pressing plants are doing. And then I'm trying to reverse engineer that. Of course, people are trying to reverse engineer everyone's stuff, you know?
Yeah, but if you're good at what you do, like, you're always going to be looking to everybody else.
Absolutely.
To have some sort of spark of creativity to tie into your own thing. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not ripping off. It's just like it's inspiration.
It's the sincerest form of flattery, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But that's a really cool. That's a cool press that you have there. It looks like a marble, with that fog and that green.
Yeah, oh kind yeah. Of like yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it. I love doing that stuff, man. Here's another one. It's got like an inlay in it. I don't know if you can see it. Oh, that's.
Yeah, like the 45.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can see, like, it looks like leopard print.
Leopard print, yeah. So, it's so subtle, too. Like, you just, like, I don't know. I love how subtle it is, but you just pull it out of the sleeve. So, this is from a friend of mine, Colleen Duffy, and she goes by Devil Doll. A lot of rockabilly, really, really cool stuff. But I was happy to be able to do a 7-inch with her. I think those are sold out now that we did that a couple of years ago.
That should just be the headline to your website.
Yeah.
Like, variants are sold out. Because
it's like, order here, sold out.
Most of the time, they're like, everything's gone. I mean, you guys have a pretty high demand for stuff, it seems.
We're trying to, you know, stay relevant and keep up with everyone and keep making. We're trying to top ourselves every day.
Yeah,
so
that's all you can do.
Yeah. And that is training up the guys here and showing them everything that I do and then letting them go ham, get their wheels spinning.
Oh,
That's how all the new stuff happens.
Yeah. I mean, the best way to start doing something new, like, is to just do it. I mean, you're never going to actually get good at it if you don't just do it, make some mistakes or make some good mistakes or just, you could be
happy accidents.
Yeah. Happy accidents. Exactly. So outside of just the record label and the pressing plant and everything, like, musically for you, what do you listen to a lot?
Oh my gosh. Because literally can be
normally,
anything.
Oh, that's good. That's what I was normally at the end of our episodes. we always ask, because we do a lot of band interviews, but different types of record labels and things like that too. But we normally ask people, like, outside of their genre of music that they play, what is something that they listen to that people wouldn't expect? But since you're kind of all over the place, I'm going to rephrase the question and just ask kind of what you're into musically.
Definitely anything Amyl and the Sniffers. Like, I'm such a fanboy, fully obsessed. But other music that I really dig, I listen to a lot of country, man.
Okay. Like older, I would imagine older, or maybe some.
Yeah, all of it, all okay. of it. My friends rip on me. They're like, turn that fucking radio.
there's a song that my son, roll your windows down and cruise kind of guy, or are you more a more like country kind of guy?
I mean, I like some Charlie Pride.
There you go. Yeah.
I like.
Merle Haggard.
Yeah, yeah. And George Strait.
Man, George Strait. John
fucking blanks. Toby Keith. You know what I mean?
Toby Keith, I could never. I don't know. He always kind of bugged me. And
I ate at his restaurant one time. Did you? I got a picture with his cardboard cutout.
But mad props to him on his like 40 number one fucking hits or whatever he had.
Not George Strait's the dude. Well, did Toby Keith have that many hits?
Toby Keith had a lot.
Because George Strait, I believe, is the number one selling country artist, like, ever.
Ever, yeah.
Like, he's
oh, no shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because he's got, like, 70 fucking singles or something like that.
Yeah, those dudes know what's up.
I'm not going to lie, Rope in the Wind by Garth Brooks is probably one of my favorite records.
Garth Brooks was a good writer, man. Like,
yeah, he's a good writer.
I'm not big.
But I know Willie Nelson was never a fan of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. All that kind
of stuff. It's the Outlaws and the Hats.
Yep.
I'm not big on country. Like, when I used to drink a little more, like, I would be kind of more on. It's almost like you got to have a beer for me to listen to it. Like, and then, like, thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah,
I can't just, like, turn it on and be like, oh, that's my jam right there. Like, right. I gotta, like, but I do appreciate, like, a lot of the writing and stuff that goes into it. And it's its own genre of music. Like,
what Yoakam is my jam.
Yeah, we went over that. Yeah.
Guitars and Cadillacs.
Fucking right, buddy. That's punk rock, though, to me.
That is. It truly is. No, it really is, man.
And for records in general, like, do you... You have your own collection at home? Like, you're an avid collector yourself?
I have been asked that question so many times. People are like, you know, what's your collection like? Are you a collector? And for a long time, in the early days of, you know, doing interviews or chatting with people, I'm like, I'm not a collector.
Yeah.
And then I had to sit back and look at this, all of this furniture I have with records in it. I was like,
wait a minute.
I think I am, but I just don't. I like, first of all, nothing's alphabetized or organized.
Okay.
I have a cubby that's just like, here's what I'm listening to now. And then another cubby is just like, I like this, but not right now. But they're sort of organized by genre, kind of, but not really. But I know where everything is.
Yeah, that's how it works in most collections. Mm-hmm. Like, it might have the most bizarre form of organization, but you know where it is.
I know where it is, except for that one Anal Cunt record. Swear to God, that thing's got legs. I don't know where to go sometimes. I'll find it like in the bathroom. I'm like, what the fuck is this doing in here?
Yeah, it's in the shower. Or
I have no idea.
There's not even a turntable in here.
I know, right? the oddest place I've ever found it was like next to the water boiling thing on top of the microwave.
Oh, that's scary. Why is this
here? Yeah, I was like, why is this here?
It could melt.
It's like I had to lay off the tequila or something. Ooh, I don't know. Yeah.
like who was just like, hey, here's a good spot for this.
Right. I mean, it does look like it's just like a little, you know, business card. So it's so small.
Yeah.
I'll send you a picture of it if I can find it.
That's awesome. Yeah, find it.
If you can find it.
Yeah. But, I listen to Soul. I listen to a lot of stuff on Coal Mine. Daptone Records is another one of my favorite labels. I like pop music. Caroline Rose is something I've been listening to for a while. Shayla Hope, also local. I'm putting out her second record. I just got all the parts in. So
the Caroline Rose or the following?
Shayla Hope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's actually, let's see if I can do this. Right there behind me.
Oh, right on. Her I'm unfamiliar with, but Caitlin Rose, she's more of a country chick too, isn't she?
Oh, Caroline Rose.
Yeah.
But also, I like Caitlin Rose.
Caitlin Rose. That's who. Two
different people. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. My bad.
Yeah. Caroline Rose is a pop musician, but who else am I listening to? Brandi Carlile. That's kind of goes between like a pop and country and folk. They call it y'alternative.
Y'alternative. Yeah. What the fuck is that?
Welcome to a new genre, gentlemen.
Yo, I heard a new term the other day. Instead of ex-husband, wasband.
Wasband.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Yo, I got this word, like, I was wife, was
that's like, my wasband.
Yeah, that's my was wife. Like, people are getting, kids are getting crazy.
I've always said future ex-wife, but wasband was a good one, too.
Anyway.
But anyways, before we wrap things up here, one, I want to thank you for your time, for your patience with the little connection issues that we had here. Also, listeners, you're going to have to deal with it. I'll edit it the best I can. But I'm happy to have gotten to talk to you, to interview you, to hear about Wax Mage. We really appreciate it. Do you have anything you want to get off before we sign off here?
Yeah, if you want to support Wax Mage, you can go to waxmage.com and buy stuff. And
that's the best way to support,
right? Yeah. And how do we support Noise Avocation?
You can go to Instagram, check us out at Noise Avocation. YouTube. We just
YouTube.
Fucking get on there, because I've been having a little bit of trouble pushing that. But now that we're doing full video, everybody's starting to seem to go there. So
find
us there. You can find Wax Mage, everything. I'll have you guys' Instagram, website, all that in the episode description.
Awesome.
So
great.
But all right, man. Thanks again. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome talking to you. This has
been
a real fun interview. I was really looking forward to this.
Yeah, man. Cool.
If you have any other questions, or if you just want to, like, shoot the shit, man. Stay in touch for sure.
Will do, man. I appreciate it. And I'll send you pictures of the vault when I go back up front.
Cool. I'm gonna find it. Drop me your mailing address too. I'll send you all some records down there.
Okay, cool. Will do, man.
Up there, sir.
Send you we're up. Northern Michigan.
Okay.
All right, man. I appreciate it. You have enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll be in touch.
Will do. Take care, guys.
Have a good one, man.
Yeah, later.